What's weird is that around here, that's not that shocking. Not very many of you were shocked by that, were you? Hey, as I said, the core of what we do in terms of impact upon our souls, impact upon our community, is what we do right now in our worship. And that's where we put our money where our mouth is. And so if you are visiting and you're new, we just want you to sit back and watch what happens as God takes our hard-earned money and that we don't own anyway, that he's really the owner of, and we steward that back to him. And Southbrook, all I ask that you do on this is put God first. Is the scriptures are replete with examples of God saying, put me first. And we hope you do that right now as we take up our offering. And you provide a way for us to reach out to so many and give them the hope. Was that song Beautiful Thing? Was that not beautiful itself, huh? Of what God does. He takes us. The Bible says we are made of dust. And we're all a bunch of dust bunnies when it's all said and done. And God takes us and he uses us. He redeems us. He brings our spirits alive. And, you know, I know where I'd be today without Christ. I'd be dead. I'd be dead, maybe physically, but I'd be dead emotionally and spiritually. And he brought me alive. And that's what we provide to our community is an amazing capacity. You know, we didn't do this forever. This is, I know, my 21st year here, and we never set a goal. And we did for Christmas, and then this year for Super Bowl weekend, we set a goal of 5,000. We had 5,008 for Super Bowl weekend. Isn't that cool? On three services. So, as you know, we packed the place out, and so many people who were here that have not been to church and wouldn't have come. So we just appreciate you, Southbrook. We opened up our community so we could embrace people. That's what God did for us. So let's just dig in now. We're going to start a journey that's going to go through June. We're going to interrupt it a little bit for Easter, which we're very excited about. If you think the Super Bowl was shocking, wait till you see what we're going to do for Easter. And we're going to raise someone from the dead. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to really, I think, get the community's attention with our Easter deal. So you just want to be ready to invite people. Some of you remember a few years ago, country singer Bobby Pinson had a song, Don't Ask Me How I Know. Right? Don't ride your bike off a ramp that's more than three bricks high. Don't take that candy from the store if you ain't got the dime. Don't pick a fight with a little guy that doesn't talk that much. Don't pick up a cherry bomb thinking it's a dud. And don't sneak out of a two-story house using bed sheets as a rope. Don't ask me how I know. Sell your truck while it's still running. Save the Jesus off the dash. Say a prayer when you feel like cussing. Save your money, pay with cash. Forget your pride, buy the roses. If you're sorry, tell her so. Don't drink the water in Mexico. Don't ask me how I know. Right? And some of you might remember that song, and that song makes a statement about wisdom, about the acquisition of wisdom. And that's what we're going to deal with in this series. That what God wants is he doesn't want you to be the valedictorian of the school of hard knocks. You know, some of us by nature just want to learn things the hard way. Do you know that God doesn't want you to do that? God doesn't want you to be the valedictorian of the school of hard knocks. No, he wants you to learn wisdom by trusting him. And so what he did is he provided these wisdom pieces of literature in the Bible. If you turn to a Bible and you go right to the middle, you'll almost find Proverbs and Psalms right in the middle. And Proverbs is 31 chapters of this collection of wisdom, mostly written by Solomon, but not exclusively. And it tells us, okay, how can we, you know, don't ask me how I know, say, ask me how I know, because I've learned to trust what God's words on these things are. And so we're going to talk about this thing called wisdom. And here are a couple definitions of wisdom. Wisdom has been defined. Here's some definitions. Smart living, the practical application of truth, seeing life the way God does. Eugene Peterson defines wisdom as robust sanity. So foolishness is robust insanity. Wisdom is the art of living skillfully in whatever actual conditions we find ourselves. Wisdom is the ability to see and live life backwards from eternity. And I don't know which one of those logs in with you, but hopefully one of those catches your attention so you say, I want to be a pursuer of wisdom because the book of Proverbs was written for you, if that's the case. If that's the case. So here's what I want you to do. If you have a program, on the middle section, there's a place where you can take notes. And then there's a section that you can take home with you. And hopefully you have this on your lap. You can follow me tonight as I go through that. I'd like for you to write two questions at the top of the page on the inside. And I'm going to ask you to do this every week so that we're not just hearers of the words, the very words of God, we're doers. And here are the two questions I want you to write down. What is God saying to me tonight? Number two, what am I going to do about it? It does almost no good for you to come here tonight and hear about Proverbs or from the next 5 months and hear about it and not do anything about it. If you're with someone here tonight, a spouse, a friend, ask them to hold you accountable. You ask each other tonight, what do you think God was saying to you? And then you hold each other accountable. What are you going to do about it? Because in the Bible, it talks about one time in Deuteronomy where Moses said, today I set before you life and death, choose life. And I really believe that's the case when it comes to the Proverbs, that what God's doing is saying, listen, there's this thing called the freeway, and when you show wisdom and discretion on that, you are more likely to experience the benefits of safe driving and safe travel and safe destination. But when you throw caution to the wind and you're not wise on the road, you bring into the equation a number of dangers. And we call it a freeway because it has some rules to it. It has some rules to it. It limits us so that we can reach our intended destination. And the book of Proverbs is like God's life for dummies. You know, this is how you drive through life. And it's no guarantee that you won't be in an accident, but it sure does minimize the possibilities and maximize the possibility that you'll arrive at your destination safely. There are a number of books we have in the bookstore that are about Proverbs. You can check those out. One that I failed to provide, but you can just go tonight to Amazon and get this, is Andy Stanley's book, The Best Question Ever. And in that book, he says, your greatest regrets could have been avoided had you asked the best question ever and then acted on your conclusion. And I'll just tell you what it's about. He says, and this is a great book to read with your kids. He said, in light of my past experiences and my future goals, what is the wise thing to do in this decision? In light of my past experiences, what I've learned, maybe from the school of hard knocks, maybe from the words of God, in light of what I want to be in Jesus Christ, what's the wise thing to do here? Because you see, the Bible knew that most of life is not black and white. Most of life is gray. There are things that are black and white, but most of the decisions you face on a daily basis are not black and white, they're gray. And so we need wisdom. Wisdom. And the stakes of this are so high that the Bible actually personifies wisdom and personifies folly. Look at these words from Proverbs 8:1. It summarizes what you'll see as you go through this book. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? And all throughout the Proverbs is this picture. The word for wisdom is sophia. That's why in philosophy is the Greek word phileo, love, and sophia, wisdom. Philosophy is lovers of wisdom. Wisdom. And God gave us His wisdom, not human wisdom, His wisdom. And so here's this idea that Proverbs sets up is sophia is calling out to us. It's not literal, it's metaphor. Some people take this literally and they've started the Church of Sophia. You may have heard of that and all that. No, it's not literal. It's a metaphor of how wisdom calls out to us every day. But the Bible also personifies folly. And folly sometimes looks a lot like wisdom, but it is in reality her evil sister. And if you follow the path of folly, she is the siren that will crash your life on the rocks. This is the idea of Proverbs. Now, here I want to give you some things. Write these three statements down. Write these three statements down. Number one, Proverbs tells how life works most of the time. Proverbs tells how life works most of the time. Okay? Number two, and what I want to say on that, is Proverbs are not promises. These are generalities. Generally speaking, if you drive the speed limit, you're going to be in less car accidents than people who drive 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. Generally speaking. And generally speaking, if you follow God's wisdom, you're going to avoid a lot of the crashes that people experience in life. Number two, You can worry about the exceptions after you have learned the rule. I'll write that down because you're going to hear that throughout this series. Because you say, well, they're generalities, then there are exceptions. Yes. But you can worry about those exceptions after you have learned the rule. Because number three, the try to live by the exceptions and you are dating disaster. Try to live by the exceptions and you are dating disaster. Here's an example. Proverbs 28:19 says that the godly person will reap many rewards and blessings. It says this, the godly, hardworking, wise person receives many rewards and blessings. This is what it says. Now, you read that, and it's written in poetry. We'll get into that a little bit. It's a couplet. It's written in poetry. And you say, well, wait a minute. I've seen some hardworking people, and they didn't necessarily receive blessings. And I've seen lazy people who won the lottery. See, there are exceptions, aren't there? There's some lazy people who are dreamers. It says, he who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty, it goes on to say. And you say, well, wait, I've seen exceptions to that. I've seen some hardworking people go broke because there was a drought, hardworking farmers who couldn't raise crops because there was a drought. And then I've seen some people who chase fantasies get really lucky. And there are exceptions. But if you choose to live by the exception, you are inviting disaster on your life. Is this not true? How many of us have ever tried to live by the exceptions? And we think we're different. That's what those of you who are teenagers are living in the land of I'm different. You think you're the exception. Jeff Foxworthy said, what's a redneck say before he dies? Hey, Fowlers, watch this. You know, there's some people who think they're the exception. And if you try to live by the exception, you are dating disaster in this one and only life you get. So many of the Proverbs are these lines of verse. And I'm just going to walk you through. You can jot these down. I'm just going to walk you through a real quick synopsis of this. And I've got about 10 or 12 of these that I'm going to list and just show you the different Proverbs that are in the book. So just jot these down. Proverbs 8:10. Here it is on the screen. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Proverbs 9:9. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. So this is a very common proverb. It's a couplet where a statement is made and then he backs up that statement with the same thing said in a different way. So you'll see that a lot in the Proverbs. They didn't have exclamation points. They didn't have bold and italics. And so when they wanted to emphasize something, they would say it twice. And so often they would say it in a different way. And you'll see that in the Proverbs. Here's one. Sometimes they use contrast. Proverbs 9:8. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. See that contrast? Proverbs 11:24. One man gives freely yet gains even more. How does this work? Another withholds unduly. He's a miser but comes to poverty. See that contrast? Vivid contrast. Some proverbs use graphic word pictures. Look at this, Proverbs 26:21. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. You ever know someone who everywhere they go, they just like to stir things up? They have an anger that's coming out of them themselves and it comes out sideways and they inflame the emotions of others everywhere they go, just like sparks on dry kindling. And they just cause trouble. The vivid picture. Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked man ruling over a helpless people. And you can't read that without knowing what God feels about those who bully others, whether governmentally or on the school playground, the strong taking advantage of the helpless, a vivid word picture there of what God thinks about that. Then there are some Proverbs that are just so plain and simple, we almost pass them by to our own peril. Look at this, Proverbs 23:4. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Now, have you ever known anyone? Because there's nothing fancy about that verse. It just is. I mean, you can't parse the Hebrew there and say, oh, I'm going to deepen my understanding. It is what it says. Have you ever seen someone who ignored that wisdom and destroyed not only their life, but the lives of their family members? Because they just blew right through that yield sign that said, slow down, slow down. and this idea of keeping up with the Joneses and trying to get ahead all the time financially. Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. This is why a lot of people are always wearing themselves out to get rich, is they envy what their neighbor has. And this little four-letter word, envy, Solomon said, has the power to literally cause us physical harm. It just literally breaks down our cells. Book of Proverbs also has a sense of humor. Look at this one. Proverbs 27:14. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it'll be taken as a curse. I mean, is that, any of you ever in your college dorm and your friends stayed out late Friday night partying and you gave a nice Christian greeting at 6 a.m. Saturday morning? That was taken as a curse, right? You ever tried to wake up your teenage son or daughter in the morning? It's taken as a curse, right? And so there's sometimes it's just lighthearted. Proverbs rarely minces words. Look at this. Proverbs 6:27-29. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Wow. Proverbs is very clear on this. It's not a yield sign on this one. It is a stop sign. And do a U-turn on this one. Proverbs 11:22. This is a mixture of no mincing words and humor. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. I'm not going to touch that one, but it is in the Bible, okay? But beauty and indiscretion, they just undermine each other, right? Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and he will hate you. Now, have you ever been on the other side of that? Or you just couldn't get someone to leave? You know that proverb is not generally true. It is always true, isn't it? Sometimes the book of Proverbs, the writers address unexpected issues. Look at this, Proverbs 12:10. I love this. I used to use this against my mom. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. I always wanted to bring my dog in the house and let him sleep in my room, and my mom was not a dog inside the house person. And I remember the day I discovered this verse. She knew Proverbs 12:10 because I never let her hear the end of it. A righteous man brings his dog inside. That's the way I read it. But did you know that how you treat your pets says something about your character? How you treat your pets. A wise man cares for the needs of his own animals says something about your character. Some Proverbs are just hopeful. They just give hope. To those of you who sang that song tonight and we talked about pain, and you said, yeah, that's me. Look at these Proverbs. Proverbs 14:32. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous have a refuge. Proverbs 10:25. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. I mean, you just might want to write those down to hold on to those. Whatever you're going through. Other proverbs kind of probe beneath the surface of life a little bit. Look at these. Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. So often we're laughing on the outside, but underneath we're just hurting so badly. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Have you ever had someone in your life that you know they have an ability to draw out of you the stuff that's so deep inside you? This is what gifted counselors and friends do. But Proverbs, simply, those are just a few examples of what we're going to learn. We are going to be so filled with wisdom from God in these next 4 or 5 months together. Are you excited? I mean, this is going to be so impactful. I think God wanted us to do this at this time. So here's what I want you to do. You can go in the bookstore, and there's a little book in there. It's just simply called Proverbs, and it's the Proverbs. It's chapter 1 to 31 of Proverbs by Eugene Peterson. It's a contemporary translation. You can just grab that. And what you can do is take that, and one of the neat things about the Proverbs, I learned this from Billy Graham years ago. Someone told him, I read 5 Psalms a day, there are 150, to go through the Psalms every month, and I read 1 chapter of Proverbs a day to go through the Proverbs every month. So today, what you could do is pick up that book, and tonight, before you go to sleep, read Proverbs 9, because today's February 9th. And just every month, you'll go through the Proverbs, and you'll start absorbing the wisdom of God into your DNA. into your spirit. It'll start feeding your soul. You know, if I ask you what meals have impacted your life the most, you probably wouldn't be able to answer that question. I don't know what meals. I know what meals have stood out that tasted the best, but I can't tell you what meals have really changed me and made me who I am. That you are the product of what you've eaten, right? And that's true when it comes to the words of God. You absorb them, and over time, you become what you eat. And I'm going to challenge you in these months to absorb Proverbs. One of the things you can also do is take this insert and make sure that you just take this week and read it. And then you also, for next week, we're going to look at chapters 3 and 4, and we're going to read that this week. And you can do that to prepare. Just allowing the DNA of your soul to slightly change over the weeks. And you become a different person because you fed on the words of God to your soul. So here's what I want you to do. Pull this out. If you don't have one or you don't have a copy of the Bible, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and block everything out. Because what we're going to do right now, that we won't do very much in this series actually, if at all again, is I'm going to read this. And I want you to listen to what God is saying to you. And then when we get done, I want you to write down what you're going to do about it, okay? So if you don't have a copy of the scriptures in front of you, this insert, then just bow your head and listen as I read the very words of God, thousands of years old. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord. Read this one with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let that wash over your mind and soul. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us and we will all share the loot. My son, don't go along with them. Don't set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. And just write the name Bernie Madoff next to that. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. Here's Sophia. Sophia calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity takes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. Then they will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you will call out for insight, maybe that's what God's telling you to do tonight. Just start praying, God, give me insight into life. Cry aloud for understanding. If you will look for it as you look for silver, search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you. Understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, whose devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Those words are 3,000 years old. They have stood the test of time. And God's Spirit tonight is using this entity of wisdom to call out to you, especially to those of you who are students. And yet there's folly. The proverb writer says, that is also calling out every day. And folly has been given voice through technology and so many things that we have to lay claim to. But which path will you choose? That's the dilemma we all face as we venture into this series. There's a writing that you've heard of that embodies this called Homer's Odyssey. If you ever saw the movie, O Brother, Thou Art Thou, O Brother, Where Art Thou, you saw the Odyssey. Ironically, that was the Odyssey retold. And there's a scene in which Delmar says to Pete, you ever see this movie? He says to Pete, we thought you was a toad. Remember that? Because Pete listened to the sirens at the stream and he could not resist their call. And Delmar literally thought he was turned into a toad. He wasn't. He was just wrecked. And Homer's Odyssey gives this ideology that these sirens are there, drawing the sailors in so that they'll crash in the rocks. And I don't know what pain that you're experiencing tonight has been caused because someone else crashed their ship into yours. I would venture to say that most of us are in the pain we're in because of the choices we've made, in large part. And we feel that pain. Those choices not only ventured into the realm of folly, they ventured into the realm of just out and out missing the mark. That's what sin is. It's just missing the mark God has for us. And so I think it's really important that we start this series out tonight with some just time to let this wash over us and really, truly listen to what God is saying and then make a decision this week to just do something about it. Just do something about it. Maybe you're just going to read through this chapter every day this week and that's your something. Maybe that's what you're going to do. Maybe you're going to let someone who has a heart of understanding draw out the deep waters of your heart so that you can understand what makes you tick. I don't know. But as you do this, it's critical that you come to the grace throne. That you come to the place of Christ, because in our failure, He is ready there to meet every single one of us as we come to Him and we confess our failures. We confess our inadequacies. We confess our shame. We confess our regrets. Do you know that the Bible says that we can come with confidence to that throne to receive grace to help us in our time of need? The book of Hebrews says that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head right now. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And Jesus would invite you to have a dinner with him tonight before you leave. As you come, he's going to invite you to this symbol of his body and blood. And I pray that you come tonight emptying yourself of all regret and pride and just saying, Lord, I call out for your wisdom. Let's bow our heads right now and let the Lord's word just wash over us. Father, in a brilliant literary technique, the writer of Proverbs personifies this entity of wisdom. That every day when we get up, you are directing our paths if we will not just lean in our own understanding, but cry out for understanding, call out for insight. And I pray for a heart of wisdom for our church and our people as we go out and live our lives through the week that follows the voice of your Spirit. And we see the blessing that comes from that. But we know we will fail sometimes. We will have accidents. And we pray that those accidents, those mistakes, those sins don't keep us from you, but bring us to you on our knees and say, Jesus Christ, I thank you that you paid the price for all my wrong decisions, for all my sin. There's nothing that should keep me from you. It is the scandal of grace that you brought me into your being, into your presence, by your own payment of your life as sufficient for my inadequacy and sin. And I pray, Lord, that this week and this month, as we become aware of not just your wisdom, but also of our lack of wisdom sometimes, that it breaks us. It breaks us. And we fall before you and say, you are exalted. And I thank you that your love never fails, never fails. That every single person, no matter what they've done in this room right now, is surrounded by love that is reaching out to them to receive. So we celebrate this now as we go. We thank you for our night of worship. We'll not erase the image of Cupid from our mind, but hopefully we'll be able to celebrate with our spouse next week, and we'll come back looking to hear a word from you. May we go out now, be doers of the word. In Christ we pray, and everybody said, amen. Have a great week, everybody.